another episode of Stories from the Internet. I suppose with the themes we've had going the last couple weeks, it's only fitting to going from serial killers to unsolved murders to now creepy content of creepy encounters. If this isn't your thing, maybe next week we'll get back to a normal, non-creepy format. But for now, let's jump into creepy encounters. I hope you enjoy the stories I'm about to tell, so sit back, relax, and let's go for a ride. Company policy says we have to pick up every call. By Bad Kings 519. I used to work at a hotel whose guests would stay for months at a time. I became pretty tight with my coworker who works the front desk. We would get excited when we'd see each other working the same shift, because it would mean that we could hang out after my shift was over in the room behind the front desk. This was usually late after dinner service was over and the walk-in traffic in the lobby would finally empty. My coworker was extremely nice, like you can see her smile through the phone kind of person. We both deal with customer service, so you can imagine the type of Karens we've encountered. But she can smile through any complaint, no matter how unfounded it can be. I can't do this. I have hard edges that she relies on to help her when someone gets a little too aggressive after coming back from the bars nearby. I'm a woman, by the way, and short but pretty serious. Anyway, this night was pretty normal. All our guests were preceded to their rooms. We mostly sat back in the office talking while we watched the monitor for new check-ins. That's when the phone rings and my friend, still on her shift, goes to answer it. I give her a look that says, "What are you doing?" She tells them to hold on and tells me they're having a package delivered to be picked up by someone. They asked our manager and already okayed it. Now, I've been working the front desk longer, and during my training, a request like that had come up, to which my manager said that only guests can have packages delivered. So I have to deny their request and tell them it's against our policy. He later told me that the cartel has been using hotels to move their product around. So I tell her what the manager told me and just tell them it's hotel policy that we can't accept packages except for guests. She took him off hold and conveyed the message, and I could kind of hear his voice getting louder on the phone. I hear him say that the manager said it was okay. My friend looks to me and I tell her to ask if he could name the manager and we'll call our boss to validate. She complies and relays the message. But before I could pick up the other office phone to call out, it starts ringing. Picked up and said our hotel's standard greeting, and before I could finish, the man on the other end said he needs to pick up a package from our hotel. I asked the name of the room number and started looking over to my coworker, who hung up the phone by now. He had gone silent and started whispering to someone else. My friend started calling our boss and he told us that he didn't clear anything and to reject the request. As soon as she hung up, the phone started ringing again. I was on the phone with the man who had finally given a name and room 402. Well, that's a red flag. We only have 3 floors in our rooms and in 300s. I told him that he isn't in our system and to have a good night. I could hear a background voice, very similar to the voice speaking to my coworker, telling her that she needs to take the package while she repeats why we can't. My coworker and I hung up the phones and started ringing again, simultaneously. We looked at each other, and I told her to just keep rejecting their request. We decided to switch the phone, and I answered the man this time. He asked for my friend, saying that she had agreed to accept the package for them. I told him I was aware of the situation, that it's against our policy. He tried pulling the whole manager card again, and I shot that down quickly. And again, I hung up. My friend was having more trouble and being impossibly nice while apologizing, so I grabbed her phone and hung it up for her. My friend told me later that she could hear me in the background. Again, the phone rang together. She asked me, "What are we gonna do?" I told her if it's them again, we'll warn them that we'll call the police. She nodded as we picked up. It's also company policy to pick up every call. It was them again. I kept telling him I can't help him and that I'll call the police for harassment. That's when he finally calmed down and whispered, "Do you want me to come over there and stab you like the disgusting pig you are?" I felt my blood flush in my face and my brain blanked out. I remembered saying, "Okay, good night, sir," and hung up. I turned to my friend on the phone, apologizing once again and stopping mid-sentence. "He hung up," she said. Seeing my face, she asked what happened, and I told her what he had said. I started shaking. Despite my serious demeanor, I'm a gooey mush on the inside. She said I was threatened and that I should call the cops, but the police said it sounded like a prank, and there wasn't much they could do unless I see an unknown suspicious vehicle starting to follow me. I know prank calls, we get them occasionally, usually perverts, but this was pretty different. My friend still works there and says that it still happens occasionally, but manager is around to stop it. Sorry if this story isn't super scary. I got scared and I don't know what to think of it. What do you guys think? This one time in college, a stranger tried to lure me into an empty room. My gut told me just to go home. By Old Lady T-Rex Arms. I'm an 18-year-old kid in culinary school. This happened back in 2009. Our program that has an underground parking lot attached to the lounge of our own, located behind the cafeteria. Couples like going there because it's always empty and partially dark. I hated it because the back door leading to the parking lot was barely lit up. Barely anyone parked there, and I found it creepy. Plus, being a horror fan, I knew that it was the perfect opportunity for things to go wrong. Long story short, I came out of class one day, and this kid I don't know started walking up to me almost confrontational-like. I have a knife set with me and pulled out the handle, readying to defend myself. He stops, hands me a piece of paper, and it reads, "Meet me in the lounge." I look at it with confusion and ask who sent him the note. Was it my boyfriend? Was it someone in the culinary program or a friend from high school? He shakes his head and says he doesn't know, but I should go. I question him on what the person looks like, and he refuses to give me any information. I chuckle nervously and put the note in my pocket and walk past the kid to head to class. He starts following me and asking me if I'm going to go. I try ignoring him and heading to the library to get to a public place. He follows. He tries telling me I should go, that it's destiny or some crap along those lines. I glare at him and pick up the pace, trying to head downstairs toward the cafeteria in hopes of finding a classmate to lose the kid. He runs to the same place, telling me he doesn't understand why I'm not going. I tell him, because I don't want to. Now go away and head to the cafeteria. By now, he's really creeping me out. I grab for my phone to call the police, but instead see my classmate and run towards him. The kid follows me, pointing towards the lounge, telling me I'm going the wrong way. I instantly panic, and my classmate, what's going on? He approaches the kid and tells him to leave me alone, that I have a boyfriend and I'm not interested. The kid tells me they're waiting for me in the lounge and not to take too long. His words just give me chills. The classmate walks to the student restaurant and asks for some other students to come with us. Three of my other colleagues come to the lounge with us. There's no one there. I get freaked out and decide I need to go home. They walk me through the campus to the parking lot where I call my parents to get a ride. One of the others stays with me while a classmate who defended me goes to report the behavior to the teachers. One who uses the lounge as secondary offices sometimes. Then he comes back to tell me that they're going to investigate and keep an eye out for suspicious activity or that kid. A few days later, I learned that a girl had been assaulted in that area, having parked there during finals and gone through the lounge. The school newspaper had reported it, and there were no details as to who did it to her and if they were caught. I literally felt my stomach drop, hoping the girl was okay, hoping that the people would be caught. I reported the incident to the newspaper team, but they claimed she never dealt with anything like a note. They never found any suspects. My mom is glad that I listened to my gut and didn't go. To this day, it gives me chills just to think about. The girl recovered. She got jumped but had no money, so they just left her, I guess, and escaped with few minor injuries. They never caught the attackers and never saw the strange kid again. All I can think of is, why me? If they were going for money, I was so poor I literally lived off sesame crackers donated by my classmates because I had no money. I'm just glad that the girl is okay and I listened to my gut. Who knows what would have happened had I gone. A pervert tries to lure me to his car saying that he knows my dad. By Snoo87023. This happened when I, a female, was about 16 or 17, around 2001-2002. I worked at a grocery store. I didn't have a car or a license, so I would walk to and from work. was about 15 minutes walk, so not too bad. I had been scheduled for a shift that ended at 9 or 10 p.m. and was getting ready to be done for the day. A man approached me and was acting really friendly, asking me how I'm doing and starts chatting. He says he owns a cabinet shop at the end of the street I live on, and he's a good friend of my dad's. He's a clean-cut guy, although he did have a slight mullet, which is a little dated for that era, and just had a 90s dad look about him. I had been living in the same house my whole life at that point and had never once seen this man or any other human being coming or going from that cabinet shop. It wasn't a retail outlet. It was a shop where they built the cabinets and delivered it to the customer. I assume via loading dock in the back. Then the guy says, "Oh, hey, are you getting off soon? Do you want to ride home?" He was very convincing that he knew my family, but something just didn't feel totally right, so I declined. When I got home and asked my dad about his good friend at the cabinet shop, he said the man that owned it was the sole employee, and it was an elderly man bordering on retirement. He had no idea who the man at the grocery store was. The fraudulent cabinet maker had even mentioned where my dad worked by name. My dad runs a family auto shop a few blocks from our house, and I have no idea how he knew that or that I would be getting off soon. And I didn't have a car and would be walking home. It led me to believe that he had been watching me for a while. I never saw this man again, and I hate to think what he could have done had I accepted the ride. A man followed me to school by username deleted. I was 7 years old then, and it was literally the first week of school. I was waiting for my mother in the parking lot to bring me my lunch that I had forgotten to bring. I saw a man next to a car watching me for a long time, but then I was a child and it was not very strange to me. When my mom brought me my lunch, I went to school when I noticed that the man was following me. He was getting closer to me every step of the way. But I was lucky, so my friend ran into me, and the man literally ran away when he noticed him and my mom's friend. I never thought about it at all because it was not that strange to me, but when my mother told me the other day, after a few weeks, almost kidnapped a girl there, I was horrified. Do not let your Uber driver cancel your ride while in the car by username Too Sad to Masturbate. Sorry, this is a bit long. I know this isn't a therapist's office, but it has bothered me for a long time, and I just wanted to get it off my chest. This happened June 2018 in Portland, Oregon. I understand I acted like an idiot in the situation. Since then, I've become much more observant, cautious, honestly, more paranoid. I went dancing with friends, was really drunk by midnight. Unfortunately, this was back when I had little money, and I realized you could save money by eating very little before you go out, and it would take you far fewer drinks to get drunk. So I was so drunk I barely could remember my friend ordering me an Uber home. My phone was dead, of course. I can vaguely recall them helping me into the car and telling me to get home safe. I don't remember greeting the driver for the first minute or so. But soon after getting in, he asked me how my night was and if I smoked. Honestly, I was just thinking about bed at that point, so I sort of just slurred out that I did sometimes. Then he offered me a joint, and this was the first moment I sort of get nervous and began paying attention. I tell him something like, "I'm really tired and I really want to get home." I think he said something about it being an Inca-based joint, which made it great for sleep. Once again, I say something like, "Not exactly," or "No," but not a "yes," which he takes as a "yes, I'll take that joint now." Once again, I'm drunk enough I can barely see straight or speak clearly. So then he says, "Okay, well, I have to cancel the ride quick because I can't give it to you while I'm on the clock." Or something to that effect. It takes me a second to realize how dangerous that is. And by the time I start to say something, he's canceled the ride and pulls over. We were in an area just east of the Hawthorne Bridge, I think. And it was totally secluded. Some empty parking lots, a closed auto body shop, and no one in sight. It's starting to hit me. I'm now in the car, not with an Uber driver, but with some stranger. I can't call anyone, and he's trying to give me weed that could have anything in it. For the next minute or so, we're pretty quiet. Or I just can't remember the small talk he tried to make, because I was beginning to panic, and every time he handed me the joint, I would take fake hits, just breathing into my mouth and not into my lungs. I felt tired, clumsy, and weak, that kind of drunk where you're almost at the point of nausea. I knew I couldn't do much of anything to defend myself at that point, but I remember vividly being fixated for a moment on the fact that I didn't even have a pair of keys to defend myself with, as my building used fobs just for everything, and I didn't take my mail key with me. As I'm freaking out, I look up to see if this guy is noticing. I make eye contact with him in the mirror. He was staring at me, but I couldn't read his expression. Finally, he says something along the lines of, "Well, let's get out of here." I tell him I'll just call another Uber to get home, thinking at this point it might be safer to walk. He says, "No, I still have your address. I'll just take you home." For a moment, I was relieved. I guess I wanted to believe him so badly that I would get home safe. I believed him. I tried to calm myself down, thinking he hadn't actually done anything threatening. Maybe he was just your typical stoner guy, and I'm just overreacting. At that time, I lived on the PSU campus in downtown Portland, in the southwest area of the city. He's driving me north on the east side of the river, and there are several bridges to our left. And as he keeps moving north, He has several opportunities to take an exit and hop over the river and get me back downtown. He keeps skipping them, and we keep passing bridges that he could get me back home. Up northeast Portland, there was some large industrial areas that can get very isolated at night. The Portland area in general is surrounded by a lot of forests, so I knew he could have me in a secluded area pretty quickly. After he passes like the fourth exit for a bridge, pretty sure it was the Broadway Bridge, I've been racking my brain for ways to make him actually take me home and say something to effect of, "Hey, my boyfriend is waiting for me at home," which was true, though I said it in a very meek way. My driver says nothing, and he did take the next exit for the bridge, which basically hung a giant U-turn and started taking me home. Even as we're on the west side town heading south, I'm still shaking and my hand is on the door handle thinking about just hopping out at a red light when we get closer. We get to my apartment. My phone is completely dead and honestly still has several chances to hop onto the nearby highways and speed out of the city. We're getting pretty close to my apartment now, and once again, I'm trying to convince myself I'm just being paranoid about some stoner that can't navigate through the city. Although a few minutes before, I was so scared I was crying. So once we get about 2 blocks away from my apartment, I lie and tell him that the easiest to stop there and he can let me out. Again, he doesn't say anything, but does slow the car. I'm flooded with relief and feel myself even smile, but when I go to open the door, it's locked. I try to lift the lock mechanism manually, but it won't budge. I look at him instinctively to see what's up, and he's got his head turned almost fully toward me, shoulders facing the road, smiling at me. The worst freaking smile I've ever seen. It looked so mocking, and it did not reach his eyes at all. I just started crying and asking him to open the door. I was so freaked out and still very drunk, and thank goodness he did. I will never forget the sensation of vulnerability. Not just being drunk in his car with no way to contact anyone, but even as I got out of the car, I kept feeling like he would somehow grab me back and pull me back in. As silly as that sounds. When I got home, I found out my boyfriend had actually gone out with friends at last moment and wasn't even home. He wouldn't even known how long till much later if I had gotten home safe. The next day, I convinced myself I was freaking out over nothing, which I realized still could be the case. But in my gut, I truly felt in danger the night before. Technically, this guy could have been totally harmless, but I still think I should have texted my friend and had her report him. The big thing that made me think this was recently hearing about how Ed Kemper, a co-ed killer, would go for practice runs, picking up hitchhikers and seeing if he could get the passengers' potential victims to trust him and how far out of the comfort zone he could push them without saying anything. Obviously, this guy wasn't Ed Kemper, but I hate wondering that that night was a practice run of sorts for my Uber driver. Thanks to whoever reads this whole thing, I'm at the point in my life where I'm realizing how much danger I put myself in when I was younger, and just depressed as heck that it made me both surprised and deeply grateful I'm still here. This concludes another episode. I hope you enjoyed the content that I provided. I hope I'm also improving to your liking. Feel free to stop by the Facebook page and like and share any of the podcasts, as well as rate where applicable. And of course, if any friends or family enjoy this type of content, don't forget to share with them as well. Have a good night, and watch out for those creepy creepers.